This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
It's Dan Jones, and earlier this week, Billy Graham passed away at age 99. In 1959, there were a number of huge crusades that he did in Australia, and so many people claimed that they came to Christ at those crusades. One of them was former Sydney Anglican Archbishop Peter Jensen, who would have seen so many ways that Sydney changed over that time and the influence of that crusade lingering not only in his own life, but those of so many that he would continue to meet over the years. And Peter had some great thoughts on Billy Graham and on Sydney as a whole.
Hello, Dan, and hello to all who are listening.
This is a huge day in Christian history, but also this is a very personal story of yours, isn't it? And a very touching relationship that you would probably feel like you had with somebody, regardless of whether you met him or not.
Well, I never did meet him, but I do, of course, think of him as the person who led me to the Lord Jesus, and you have that special relationship with someone who's done that, and he was the one for me.
Did you ever write to him?
Yes, I did. I wrote to him when I was Archbishop. I thought, I've never been in touch with him. So I wrote him a letter and told him what had happened to me and what had happened in the Diocese of Sydney as a result. Mm. I never actually got a reply, but I was told that they did write to me a year or two later and say, could they put the letter in the Billy Graham Museum and have it on show? So
isn't that fantastic?
There it sits.
And I suppose that lives on in the history and what was considered to be a revival in Sydney at the time. What was it on that day in 1959 that really struck such a chord with you that not only yourself, but your brother Philip became Christians that day?
Yes, indeed. Well, I'll tell you what it wasn't, first of all. Mm. See, some people might think, oh, it was hypnotic or it was sinister or, you know, there was some manipulation going on. No, it was pretty ordinary. It was very well run. It was well organized. Things worked. For the first time, I'd seen a Christian organisation that actually worked properly. So that was something.
Yeah.
But no, I'll tell you what struck me. And don't forget, there were no screens in those days. So it wasn't as though you were watching Billy Graham on a screen. You could only see him from, you know, 100 yards away or more. No, what struck me was that he was preaching the Bible.
Mm.
And he preached on Noah and the Ark. He warned us of the Judgment Day. He warned us of the need. He told us of the need for our sins to be forgiven. He told us about the wonderful work that Jesus did when he died for us on the cross. And he told us that we needed to have a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And then he invited us to stand up, come down the front, in order to demonstrate our faith in the Lord Jesus.
Well, so I did. Do you think there's a beauty in the what you describe as the ordinariness of it, the beauty in its simplicity? Was that something that's struck a chord for you over the years?
Yes.
Mm.
Yes, you put your finger on something important. Billy himself was a highly intelligent man, but he was a simple preacher. He went from the known to the unknown. He took you out to the world outside, the Cold War world of those days and so forth and so on, and gave us a bit of, referred to it, but then brought us back to the Bible and simply told us what the Bible said, simply. And I think, you know, yes, some people might say there was razzmatazz about it. Well, it was good razzmatazz, a great choir, for example, and a very good singer in George Beverly Shea. But really, what did you say? It was a sort of ordinary.
Yeah.
And, yeah. It's like going to church on stilts.
That puts a funny image in your mind, doesn't it? I was reading through some of the things that Billy Graham has done over the years, and I think people probably of my generation don't understand just how amazing it was back then to be able to go to something that, whether you were a Christian or not, was just the show that you had to see, and it was somebody just preaching the Bible, something that you wouldn't see today.
No, I think that's right. About a quarter of the people who went forward to the Billy Graham Crusade were not churchgoers at all.
Mm.
Three-quarters were, but then many of the people like me who went to church were what you may call nominal Christians, and this made the difference. So that's why it was so important for us. But about a quarter of the people were there out of sheer curiosity or just wondering what was going on, brought by a friend perhaps.
Yeah.
Not all of them were impressed. I took my mother along and I said to her when he asked people to come forward, I said, well, and she said, can we go home? She wasn't impressed at all.
Each to their own, I suppose.
Each to their own. So, you know, well, and when you stand back from that, you say, well, God works his own way at his own time in each life. So, yeah.
I was reading back through some of the history of some of the things that you've done in your life, and as Archbishop, and also some of the things that Billy Graham supported, of course. Some really iconic moments that he had in his life, like bailing Martin Luther King Jr. out of prison at one point with his supporting of getting rid of segregation and so forth as well.
He did.
You've always been somebody that wasn't ever going to tell anybody how you vote, but you have stood up for the rights of Aboriginals, for the rights of unions and different things over the years. Is there a hint that perhaps you were emulating somebody that you really respected over the years?
Yes, Jesus. No, I don't think it was that. I don't think it was as direct as that, mate. I think that's just, yeah. And I'm glad you've, in a sense, pointed that, because some people suspect that if you're an evangelical Christian, it means that you must be on the right wing or whatever.
Yeah.
And how I vote is my business. Mm. I think we've had a history in this country, at least a history so far, of Christians voting for either side of politics and evangelical Christians.
Mm.
And thank God we've got both sides and so forth.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah. So, but no, I think in a sense this is the... Well, if I got it from anywhere, I get it from my evangelical Christian tradition,
yeah.
Which has always been, from the 18th century onwards, deeply involved in the life of the community. So I think that's what's really important.
And that community of Sydney that you talk about, and of course with everything that's happened since that massive crusade in 1959 with 150,000 people, as you've been involved in that community, how did that change from the time that you became a Christian on that night to today? It's been described as a revival, but was that something that that I suppose influenced you greatly and influenced your ministry as Sydney changed over those years?
Yes, if it was a revival, in that sense, it didn't last long. I think Dr. Piggin, who's a church historian and a very fine historian, has indicated there were some elements here where the crime rate went down, for example, and alcohol abuse went down around about that period.
Mm.
Very interesting.
Absolutely.
Remember, we had 150,000 people there. Sydney only had 2 million people. So that would be something like 300,000 people today.
That's incredible.
In one spot. So
yeah.
Imagine. No, what happened, I think, Dan, was this, that in the 1950s, there was a boom in church going, a lot of it nominal, but it was there. Then in the 1960s, in around the great sexual revolution of the 1960s and the other things that happened, the 60s is a crucial decade, because in the 60s, if you like, for many people, the death of God occurred. Mm. God is no longer going to be the one who's going to dominate their lives. And the good thing about the Billy Graham Crusade coming when it did, in God's timing, was that it reaped the harvest of the work that had gone on after the Second World War. It brought many new Christians with fire in their bellies into play, so to speak. And every church I went to, when I was Archbishop, I used to go around to churches and people would interview me, and I would ask you, anyone here who came to know Christ at the Billy Graham Crusade.
Wow.
And there never was a church, except one, where there were not people sitting there who said, oh, yes, we did. And that one church, at the door on the way out, a lady said to me, I was, but I didn't want to put my hand up. Now, there were not a majority of people, not at that time, but every church had its Billy Graham converts. The Theological College was much impacted positively by it, and so
well,
I could go on.
Through your brother as well, who came to Christ and who's had a huge influence over Sydney, but you touch on such a huge point. I mean, when you can ask people in churches, you know, who came to Christ at this crusade, and you've never had a situation where there wasn't at least one person. I mean,
correct.
That's just something
correct.
That's once in a lifetime.
Correct.
How does it make you feel now, being in a position that perhaps Billy Graham may have been in his past couple of decades? So you retired as the Archbishop at age 70, and of course, with Billy Graham passing at 99, he, you know, while he was retired for quite a while, he was still giving interviews, he was still doing many of the things that you're still doing today. How does this influence your perspective in the way that you would want to be remembered and seen and to spend the rest of your life at this stage?
Oh, well, I don't think much about how I'm remembered. I just think that the Lord Jesus knows. I sometimes think, naturally, imagine people criticise me, and often correctly, and then sometimes you think it's not correct, and I say, oh, well, God knows, and then I think, well, God knows a lot more than these people do.
Mm.
I think I'd better just trust in Jesus, because I think Jesus is my only hope. I'm not saved because I'm a good man. I'm saved because of what he did. Now, what Mr. Graham modelled, though, was that the fact that for a Christian person, not just for people in ministry, but for a Christian person, we never retire from the good works that God gives us to do. One of the most powerful things we can do is pray. And in our later years, we are often given time to pray. And some of the most powerful prayers in the world are the prayers of a grandparent for his or her grandchildren.
Mm.
So we're doing the work of the Lord. We may not be earning salaries, but that's irrelevant. We're always doing the work of the Lord. And we just do. My wife and I love that verse in Ephesians 2, which says, to find and do the good works that God has prepared for you to walk in. And that's what we try to do every day.
Well, I don't think you get a better thought to leave it on, Peter. Thank you so much for your time. Former Archbishop of the Sydney Anglicans, Peter Jensen.
Okay, it's a pleasure.
Thanks. Bye. See you.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.